Okay, so traditional deployment then. We'll have a new assessment and deployment kit for Windows 10. The preview of that's already out. For those of you who've gone looking for it and can't find it, it moved. It used to be on the download center. It's not on the download center anymore. You now need to go to the Windows hardware development site, like dev.windows.com. There's instructions on how to find it that Aaron had posted to the MS Deployment blog. So easiest way is to go to blogs.technet.com/msdeployment. The most recent blog posting there talks about using MDT with the latest builds and has the instructions on where to go to find the ADK. Can't find it, let me know. We'll point you to it. So it is out there. We released an updated version last week to correspond to the 10074 build of Windows 10 that was released. Although the ADK version is 10075. Don't worry, it'll work just fine with the 10074 bits. It's a much longer story on what's going on there, but the end result was the ADK version number got bumped by one, even though it's really the same as the 10074 OS. So you got a new ADK. The new ADK contains that Windows ICD tool that we were talking about before. It contains other updates to Windows PE, USMT, and some of the other tools, mostly minor changes with some exceptions. We'll talk about that. There will also be enhancements to System Center. So System Center 2012 will get a service pack to support Windows 10. System Center 2012 R2, Configuration Manager, will get a service pack to support Windows 10. Configuration Manager 2007 will get an update to support Windows 10, only for management, not for OS deployment. It won't support deploying Windows 10 just like it doesn't support 8.1. So you will need to apply updates to System Center to support Windows 10, but they're not major updates. They're literally the next finish type of service pack. MDT will also be updated. There's a preview version of that available now, MDT 2013 Update 1. The preview for that is on connect.microsoft.com. If you haven't grabbed that yet, sign up for the Configuration Manager Connect site. That will have the download for MDT as well. When you actually look, though, at the traditional task sequences in MDT or in Config Manager, there's really no difference between the ones that you're looking at for Windows 7 and Windows 8.1. The changes are really behind the scenes. The biggest changes in the MDT case especially is to deal with the change of the Windows version number. Windows changed from 6.1 to 6.2 to 6.3 with Windows 8.1. Initially, it went to 6.4 for Windows 10, but then with the latest preview releases, it changed to 10.0. It also went from build numbers that were 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, it jumped to 10,000, which broke all kinds of things with MDT because it was doing string comparisons on the version number. Is the version number greater than 6.0? Well, 10.0 is not greater than 6.0 when you look at it as a string. So no, it then assumes you're deploying Windows XP. I'll do things differently. I'll look for a cab file that contains sysprep.exe. I'll do all kinds of weird stuff with INF files and old answer files like unattend.txt. Nope, that's not right. So we had to fix a lot of the scripts for Windows 10 to do the proper version number checks. We missed a few in the initial MDT 2013 preview. We knew that this was going to happen, so we tried to fix the issues ahead of time. But the few that were missed are updated in that same blog that Aaron posted. You can just download new scripts and overwrite the ones that are currently there. That's not to say we had found all of them at that point in time. We just found the most critical ones, like you couldn't capture an image using MDT. It would blow up. With the updated scripts, that'll go through. But there are still some other lingering issues. We'll get those addressed before the release, just to make sure that we don't have any more of those hanging around. Overall, the process is unchanged. Question? Yeah, the question was about the unattend.xml in MDT 2013, if it was still using the Windows 7 version. And it did, but that only sometimes caused problems. It caused issues if you put IE11 into the OS, or if it was already in the OS, because there was one entry in the unattend.xml to hide the welcome screen that was no longer valid. So you had to take that entry out. You also had issues that if the OS, if the machine had a wireless adapter, it would stop in the middle of the UBI process and ask you to connect to a wireless network. So you had to put in a setting to say hide the wireless screen. So there were some tweaks like that. That was actually just an oversight. The MDT had an unattend.xml that was used for all OSs, and then it added a new one for Windows 8, but it didn't add a new one for Windows 8.1. Well, when it couldn't find the one for 8.1, it dropped back to the all OS version, which had those issues. But those should be addressed in MDT 2013 Update 1 because, well, that's easy enough to handle. But if that doesn't work right, then, yeah, let us know. We can take care of that one. It's an inconvenience. Yeah, you can figure that out. So no real changes to the deployment task sequences. You should be able to drop in your Windows 10 media, add it to a new task sequence, and go. If you were to compare the Windows 10 task sequence against a Windows 7 or 8.1 task sequence, no differences, exactly the same. So no big structural changes required there. So we already talked about new tools, the new Windows ICD, updates to the user state migration tool. As far as supported OS versions go, USMT supports capturing from Windows Vista and above and restoring to Windows 7 and above. The goal with the new ADK is to support all the OS versions that you currently have. The one exception would be if you're still running some Windows XP machines. The ADK is not going to support migrating from Windows XP to anything newer than that. We're still looking at some potential workarounds for that to use an older version of USMT to capture from XP and then a newer version to restore to Windows 10, just like we did before with Windows 8.1. But if you're still running XP on some machines, my condolences. So we have the new USMT. It does have some new capabilities, which sound rather odd. ScanState has some new command line switches. Those command line switches enable you to capture a provisioning package from an existing machine containing the apps and/or drivers from that machine. So why would you ever want to do such a thing? Well, it ties into some changes that we'll talk about in a minute, where we've changed the recovery process for Windows. Now when you do a reset of the OS, it doesn't have a recovery image. It just has the side-by-side store from the current OS. The current OS side-by-side store is the Windows System 32 SXS folder that contains all the raw components for Windows. It will reconstruct the OS from those files. So imagine an OEM ships a system that has all of their OEM stuff, including drivers and apps and everything else they want to add in, and then you reset the PC. All of that would go away because it's not in the side-by-side store. So there needs to be a way to put all that back. So these scan state switches are designed for OEMs to be able to capture provisioning packages that can be inserted onto the machine to put those back anytime you reset the machine. The question then becomes, well, can you use these in an enterprise environment? And maybe, but we're still trying to work through some of those scenarios to say, is that a useful scenario for you to do? Is there a reason that you would want to do something like that? There are also then new commands added to DISM to apply those provisioning packages and to add them into an image. And a new capability when you're applying a WIM to say, I want to apply a compact OS. We'll talk about that in a minute as well. Basically, the idea is that we want to save some disk space when we apply this to a machine. If you're familiar with WIMBoot, this is the next generation. Updates to Windows PE, basically it's now based around Windows 10. It includes the drivers that were included in the Windows 10 payload, so you'll see some changes there, but no real functionality changes in Windows PE. We're still trying to convince them that we need wireless support in Windows PE, but Sorry, it's not there in Windows 10. We'll keep working at it. So, Compact OS. How many of you are familiar with WimBoot? How many of you have heard me present on WimBoot? Not too many. A few of you have, but WimBoot was something that was invented in Windows 8.1 to get Windows to run okay on a machine with a 16 gig drive, like these little 8-inch tablets that had 1 gig of RAM and a 16 gig hard drive. Squeezing Windows onto that was rather tough, so WimBoot was created to help with that problem. It would compress the OS into a WIM file. You'd place that WIM file on a separate partition and then create links from the C drive into that WIM file. So the whole OS stayed compressed. There was no sector gap disk space loss. It was as small as you could possibly get Windows so that you would have half of the drive available for you to use. The problem was it was a pain to set up because you needed to set up a separate partition that was just big enough to hold that WIM file, maybe a little bit bigger to hold an OEM customization WIM file as well. And you had to go through this conversion process on existing WIMs to change the compression format and to get it ready for WimBoot. So they looked at it and said, well, the technology and the idea is good. The implementation is just too much work for OEMs to go through. So let's simplify it. So the simplified version is to create the normal one C drive partition. If it's UEFI, you still have a few other partitions. Get rid of the recovery image because that takes up too much space. Use the side-by-side store. But then when you're applying the image using DISM or WIMGAPI or whatever you're using, just set a switch that says compress the OS as it's being applied. So it becomes magic, basically. How can we just make this as easy as possible for an OEM that doesn't want to worry about the details, just wants the OS to be smaller when it's applied to the disk? So that's what was done. On a 64-bit system, we can shrink it by about 3 gigs. So a normal 64-bit install is about 8 gig. When you do it with the Compact OS option, it shrinks to about 5. On a 16-gig system with a 16-gig hard drive, that's a fairly significant savings. That gets you quite a bit more life out of that device. So let's look at what WimBoot looks like. Or not WimBoot, Compact OS. If I can get my machine to wake up here. Yeah. So let's look at machines that aren't running right now. Let me save these, get them out of the way. We're talking about systems that only have 16 gig of disk space. My system only has 16 gig of RAM, so running all of these VMs at once gets to be a little bit of a struggle, but we can get them running here. So let's look at a normal one. If we look at a normal system, how many of you have ever installed Windows manually? I have a WIM file, I have Windows PE, I can run dism.exe. Basically, it requires three steps. I show two of them here. One is to format and partition the disk. That's not too hard. Use diskpart. Second is to apply the image, which you do using the dism command line. And the third is to run BCD boot to create the necessary boot files and BCD entries for the OS. So you do those steps. The end result is you have an operating system on the C drive. If we do a directory, it's using about 120, it has about 127 gig free on this system. It's 128 gig drive, and it's basically bytes. But the point is we're going to compare that with another system. So if we look at the command line that was used here, we said dism apply image, image file, install.wim, index 1 to C colon backslash. We will then switch to a different system where we've done exactly the same thing with one difference. We added a command line switch that says compact on. That's all it takes. You put Compact on this same command line, and now it will compress the OS as it's writing it to the drive. And what it's basically going to do is write the files into an alternate data stream on the disk, which is kind of invisible. You'll never see it. And then creates those same type of pointer files that point into it. So it's the same technology using the same drivers, the same OS capabilities. It's just much more transparent. So if we do a directory of C drive here, we see that we have about 130 gig free. So the difference between the two is about 3 gig on the system. If we were to boot into the OS, we wouldn't be able to tell that this OS was any different than any other. When we look at the C drive there, there's no way to tell that this was even set up with a Compact OS. You'd have to go digging into the registry to even see that there was anything different here. The other disadvantage with WIMBOOT that's been addressed here is with WIMBOOT, you had this read-only WIM on a separate partition, and then Windows updates would come through. Those Windows updates would update the OS files. It didn't update that original read-only WIM, so the C drive continued to chew away disk space. With Windows 10, when updates install, those updated files get shoved into that same alternate data stream, replacing the existing files that are in there and compressing them at the same time. So Windows won't grow as much over time. It might grow a little because those alternate data streams can get a little fragmented, but basically it's a WIM file behind the scenes. But overall, that means that we can reuse a whole lot less disk space with a much easier deployment process and keep it from rotting over time. So much better, simpler implementation. The biggest limitation right now is the deployment tools don't support the /compact on switch. So we're still working on that one, trying to get MDT and Config Manager to add some, at least the ability to put in maybe a variable to define advanced options where you want to enable that. But we'll see what we can get done in that case. Yeah, so the question was, well, what are the other caveats? It's going to have a little bit of impact on the CPU because it's decompressing on the fly. But generally today, CPU is abundant on these machines, so that doesn't impact it very much. It actually can reduce the amount of I/O, which is kind of counterintuitive because it's reading compressed files into RAM and decompressing them, so it's reading less from the disk. Most of the time it's a wash, but with WIMBOOT we said, well, we only want to do this on UEFI systems that have 16 or 32 gig hard drives, and we don't want to use it on anything else. With the Compact OS, we said, it'll run fine on anything, but it really only buys you something if you're on a small disk system to free up a little bit of extra disk space. If you've got a 250 gig hard drive and you want to free up 3 gig, maybe you should just go buy a bigger hard drive. If you have a 16 gig drive and it's soldered into the tablet that you're using, all right, you want to use this. So we've made it easy, and hopefully we'll make it easier by building it into the deployment tools.